Do you want to say it's good to be here again this morning? I've been blessed very much. Blessed by the singing. And appreciate the enthusiasm that was put into the songs. You could tell it was coming from the heart. And the song this morning, the third song, there the phrase, you know, he lives, you know, we serve a risen Savior. And what a blessing. That's something that no other religion can say. As some verses that came to my mind as I was studying this morning, and it's one I quoted last Sunday too, but I'll look at it from a little different angle. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, so we think of the gospel message. You know, it was for the world. And we have these beautiful words of Jesus. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He's an invitation to those that are laboring, to those that are heavy laden. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Some conditions. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And love without limit, love without preference. Class didn't matter, people groups didn't matter. He was willing to talk and to eat with anyone. Now, there were no outcasts that he wouldn't touch or that he wouldn't speak to publicly or privately. You know, no one was excluded from his friendship. He referred to himself as the Son of Man, not as the Son of a man. You know, making himself the brother of every man. Whoever bore the image of man had a place in his heart. You know, wherever he found human need, it had an instant claim on his sympathy. And no one had fallen so deep into sin that Jesus passed by him without love and compassion. You know, to be a man was a passport into his heart. But then there seems to be two opposing characteristics in Christ's wide open invitation. You know, there was a wideness and there's also a narrowness. Those invitations are broad enough to include all men. But the conditions were narrow enough that down to the point that only a few seemed to be able to accept them. Matthew 7:13 says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And Jesus never turned anyone away, but he brought them to a place of decision. And the rich young ruler was one. He was not willing to give all. Appreciate the thoughts that Brother Marcus shared there in the devotional. You know, he wasn't willing to let Jesus have his pocketbook. And he walked away sorrowful. If you want to turn with me to John chapter 14, I'd like to read a few verses there. John chapter 14, verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Here Jesus was talking to his disciples. And he didn't leave them in the dark there. He was clear. He had put the Sadducees to silence concerning the resurrection. Then the Pharisees challenged him. And they asked Jesus what the greatest commandment was. And his answer was, there we find that in Matthew chapter 22, verse 36. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now the central theme of the Bible. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. You know, he made it very clear to them. And here in John 14 that we just read, he said in verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. He says, I will give you another comforter. He sent the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to guide them. He said, I'm not going to leave you by yourself. I'd like to look at another passage. If you want to turn with me to Luke chapter 7. This account is given three times, but I like Luke's. The details he puts in it. Luke 7, verse 36. It says, one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and to wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say to thee. And he saith, Master, say on. He said, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Now Jewish rabbi would have turned, they would have thrust this woman away because of who she was, because of the life she had lived. But see how different Jesus' response was. And the answers he had there to Simon. And so again, one of the many proofs we have in the Bible of Jesus is his sincerity and the wideness of his invitation. That the lost, the fallen, were continually coming to him. And he made it easy. There was something about him that made it easy for them to come to him. They longed for a better life. John 14, 6, Jesus saith unto him, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now this woman knew. She knew she didn't deserve this acceptance, I believe, that Jesus gave. But, you know, none of us deserve that. None of us have, we all have sinned. We all deserve to be thrust away. But that invitation is there. He shed his blood for us. And he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, there is no other way. There are other religions, and there are many professing Christians that are ascribing to them, that are attaching Christ to other ways. You know, Eastern mysticism has no alliance with Christianity. And I was just reading about some of that stuff recently. It's very dangerous. We need to be sure that we're clear on where we, that we're not involved in any of that. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Then we have some verses in Luke 9. Again, we have somebody that was agreeing, some men that were saying that they want to follow him. Luke 9:57. I'll just read it here, a few verses. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus saith unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his plow, hand to the plow, and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Now this passage seems to limit those invitations, those wide invitations. What is he saying? Is he saying what they were asking to do was wrong there? I don't believe so. I believe what they were asking for was legitimate. But in this situation, he was calling them to count the cost. What these men had asked to do sounded reasonable. And it's actually, we know we have responsibility to our families to take care of our own. And Jesus wasn't trying to make it hard for them, but he was trying to get them to understand that discipleship must be unconditional. Whatever the cost, everything else must be secondary to the work of Christ's kingdom. It's a test that every person faces. You know, the rich young ruler, again, he was unwilling to give Christ his pocketbook. He walked away clutching it. You know, true discipleship is a passion for Christ that exceeds all other ties. You know, we are called to love and follow our leader, Jesus Christ, the one that we sang about this morning that rose again so that we can have life. Let's kneel for prayer.